Hi, I'm Carla Wainwright.
And I'm Little Leah.
And welcome to the Radical Sex Witches podcast, where we explore the themes of sexuality, feminism, consciousness, love, healing, ritual, magic, and all things witchy and wonderful.
Hello, all you erotic echo chambers. That's a different word for your vagina. I'm Little Leah, and with me as always is Cunty Carla, who's chair dancing right now, and you can't see it.
It's not sexy, though.
Hey, that's subjective. My nipples were getting a little perk.
That's true. Was your, what did you call it? Your erotic entrance or something?
Your erotic echo chamber.
Your erotic echo chamber,
like,
yes.
Like when we did a sneeze was it in getting cabbage. Tingly? This time, yodeloo-loo-loo. Wow, we've been here for 10 whole seconds. The show has already gone to shit. But, you know, it kind of fits with our topic because, you know, these things bring about the craziness. And in reality, we're filming this right now or recording this right now. And what we're talking about today just literally happened on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So today, if you're like, hey, stop being such a fucking cryptic bitch. Today, we're diving into the world of eclipses. Those cosmic phenomena that have mesmerized humanity for centuries. Eclipses have stirred the imagination of cultures worldwide, weaving tales of gods and omens, beginnings and endings. And then we have astrology that says eclipses bring rapid change and encourage us to move in the best direction, personally and collectively as a society. So eclipses are a big deal. And in this episode, just in time, because the biggest eclipse of the year and the only total eclipse of the sun in 2024 is happening on April 8th. Carla, open your echo chamber.
Oh my God, all I could think of was queefing. But anyway, we'll see that on online. Okay. So let's talk about what eclipses really are. So that an eclipse is when one celestial body passes into the shadow of another. So on Earth, we have two kinds of eclipses. We have solar eclipses and lunar eclipses. So a solar eclipse happens when the moon passes between the sun and the Earth, which blocks some or all of the sunlight. And there are three types of solar eclipses, total, partial, and annular. So I'm going to share what those are. So a total solar eclipse is when the moon completely covers the sun, creating temporary darkness. And it's visible along a really narrow path, and that's called the path of totality. So where people will actually be able to see this on the planet is pretty narrow. The sky darkens, and sometimes even like planets and stars become visible during the day when it happens. And it's when the moon, it happens when the moon is closest to the Earth. With a partial solar eclipse, the moon covers only part of the sun's disk, and it's actually visible along over a larger geographical area. And it just looks like the sun has a dark bite taken out of it. And the duration is based on location and geometry. And then we have the annular solar eclipse is when the moon covers the sun but doesn't block it entirely. And it creates that ring of fire effect. That's pretty cool. Leah's laughing. So
shouldn't it be annular? That's my joke the whole time. And then you're like, the ring of fire.
Yes, I know.
Annular.
It's like a Johnny Cash song. It's visible on a narrow path, and the sun's outer rim remains visible, and it happens when the moon is at or near its farthest point from the Earth. Okay. So then the second kind of eclipses that we can have, which is the one that just happened at the end of March, I think it was the 25th, is a lunar eclipse. And this happens when the Earth passes between the sun and the moon, and it casts its shadow on the moon. And again, there's three types, total, partial, and penumbral. So a total lunar eclipse is when the Earth's shadow completely covers the moon, and the moon appears red or coppery like a blood moon. Looks super amazing. And it occurs when the Earth is directly between the sun and the moon, and the length of totality can really vary. A partial lunar eclipse is only part of the moon enters the Earth's shadow. It's visible from regions only where the eclipse is occurring, and just a portion of the moon appears darkened. And then finally, we have the penumbral lunar eclipse, where the moon passes through the Earth's penumbral shadow, It's often really subtle and hard to see. The moon might appear slightly dimmed, and it's a lot less dramatic than the total or partial eclipse. And so we have usually four eclipses in a year, but sometimes we have up to six. And I think not that long ago, we had seven in one year. Mm-hmm. And they actually always arrive in pairs. So they coincide with new moon and full moons as solar and lunar eclipses, respectively.
Yes. Yeah, I think only like the last year or the year before we had that, all of this eclipses.
Yeah, like a season of them.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang. Yeah.
And throughout history, eclipses have captivated human imagination and have been interpreted in various ways across different cultures. So ancient civilization often viewed eclipses as omens or signs from the gods, with interpretations ranging from impending doom to shifts in political power. So, for instance, the ancient Greeks saw eclipses as warnings or indicators of divine displeasure, while ancient Chinese believed that a dragon consumed the sun during solar eclipses, requiring people to make noise to scare it away. Man, can you imagine living as Greeks and you're like, it's fucking over, and not realizing like for a while, like how many times a year this is going to happen? Like, better chuck our babies out with the bathwater.
But remember, even though that there are like, let's say, total solar eclipses every year, they yeah. wouldn't have been visible in Greece.
That's true. They wouldn't be seeing yeah. them all the time.
So they don't see them all the time. So they're actually in one location. They would have been somewhat rare.
Yeah. So there's a few pretty notable eclipses in the past, and here's a few. We'll start off one that I don't know how to pronounce. Thales.
I think so.
Thales eclipse in 585 BCE. It's one of the earliest recorded solar eclipses, and it occurred during a battle between the Greeks and the Turks. Oh my God, I can't even imagine what they were thinking when that happened, hey? So the Greek philosopher Thales of Miletus is said to have predicted this eclipse, which brought an abrupt end to the conflict, as both sides interpreted it as a sign to make peace. Whoa, that's some fucking power wielding right there.
Like, can you imagine fighting, and then all of a sudden the sky turns dark, you see the planets and the stars, and people were like, holy shit.
And then you hear this voice like Nelson in The Simpsons, he's like, thank you. Then there's the lunar eclipse of July 28th, 1585, and this one occurred during the famous Spanish Armada campaign against England. Some sources suggest that this eclipse was seen as a bad omen for the Spanish fleet, contributing to their eventual defeat by the English Navy. And then the other one we're going to notice was way more recent. It was the solar eclipse of August 21st, 1914. This total solar eclipse occurred during the early stages of World War I, and it passed over Eastern Europe, including parts of Russia and Ukraine. And many soldiers on both sides reportedly awestruck by the sudden darkness, viewing it as an omen of the conflict to come. Oh my God, this is like makes me sick to my stomach thinking mm-hmm. of that. And some accounts suggest that the eclipse prompted a temporary ceasefire in certain areas.
Yeah. And there are other, you know, there's actually a lot of historical accounts. There are a lot to choose from, but there, you know, there are ones where like kings abdicated because of the eclipse or, you know, completely changed how they were going to rule or things happened.
Ooh, do you think that could happen on the 8th? There's just so much royal drama right now. And
there
like,
is.
Oh my God. Speaking of, you know, I just mentioned Amanda Woomer in the last episode about the pirates, but her and I like love a good, like royal conspiracy chat. And like, we're like, hey, this is going on. And like, they've talked about the abdication possibly of Charles because he has cancer, but like yeah. where's Kate and blah blah blah, and then we've got this giant fucking solar yeah. thing coming up on the 8th of April.
Stay tuned.
Or it's just gonna
stay
be
tuned. I think there's always something, but we're not always necessarily
yeah they're totally... always like, look at this while this over here is happening.
That's right. Yeah. Do not pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
That's right.
Yes. So eclipses were also given meaning depending on which month they occurred in historically. And so I'm not going to go through every month for both because that'd be way too long, but I just picked a few. So for solar eclipses in ancient times, if it happened in March, it indicates goodness of the year, excessive rains, but some of the crops will rot and the oil will be scanty. The year will be a peaceful one. If the eclipse falls in April, it indicates wars and discords, disease and mortality.
Oh, great.
In October, it indicates an excess of rains and cold. Wars will become violent and there will be a plague among horses and goats.
Ride me. Ride me into battle.
And then with lunar eclipses, June lunar eclipse indicates peace for the poor, but trouble for the great. and famine in the West, with justice also appearing. In August, a lunar eclipse would indicate much bloodshed. There'll be a shortage of crops and a king will die. And if the eclipse is in September, rivers will expand and there will be various pains among infants in the autumn.
Who came up with this shit? And how long did it take to come to these conclusions? I bet you it just happened once and they're like, oh shit, it's because of the eclipse. I mean, but I truly think that people get a little off their rocker during eclipses, full moons, all of that. So howling at the lack of moon.
Yes. Well, we've talked in the past. I mean, it's like, you know, we are affected by the moon and all of these things and the water in our body and all of these. Yeah. So, but you're probably right. There may or may not have been a lot of repetitive, like it might be N equals one kind of
thing. That's like when someone comes to me and they're trying to make a point and they're like, well, everybody said this. And I'm like, well, who's everybody? How many was everybody? And they're like, 10 people. And I'm like, cool, we're going to divide that in two. And you got maybe five people saying that. So I could see how that would play out into these records. All the kings are dying. How many? Yep. Just one. He fell down the stairs. So of course.
He looked at the eclipse and then he fell down the stairs.
Yeah, that's right. He looked directly at it. I can't see. Oh man, we're sick little fucks. But of course, eclipses are pretty important in astrology, and they're considered significant events believed to hold many symbolic meanings and influence human affairs, both personal and as a society. Blah, blah, blah. They're often seen as powerful points of transformation or major shifts in personal or collective consciousness. So with solar eclipses, these are associated with new beginnings, opportunities, and external events impacting the collective, while lunar eclipses are linked to endings, culmination points, and the internal changes or realizations. And astrologers believe that eclipses are some of the most dramatic tools that the universe uses to get us to pay attention to the areas of our life that need to change. They uproot us, surprise us, and get us moving. They shake us out of our feelings of a complacency so that we can move forward from one level of maturity to another, to a higher plane, and they work very rapidly. And eclipses want and push us to change. Do it, bitch. We're sick of your crying in the corner and eating shredded cheese out of a bag with the fridge door open every week.
Is that your go-to?
No. But isn't that delicious, though, just having a little handful of, like, some shredded cheese with the fridge open?
Yeah. Shredded cheese is pretty awesome. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you just go onto YouTube before any eclipse, and you're going to find or TikTok or wherever. There's going to be a lot of information from people about what's happening on eclipse. And, that may not correspond with your own belief system. But certainly a lot of people out there think that eclipses do have a pretty big impact on us.
Yeah. Or just go on Twitter for a day and see how crazy everyone is. See how many people are fighting.
True. So, you know, there's a lot of key energetics around eclipses. And so I just wanted to give like a few pointers to keep in mind. And this comes from Susan Miller from theastrologyzone.com. So eclipses bring news of life's big events. So that could be for us, or it could be for family, friends, sometimes for communities or globally. So eclipses are said to mark a major turning point. And the second one is, with all eclipses, something ends and something else begins. And with the energy of an eclipse, it's really said that the only way with an eclipse is forward. So you might find out later that you don't like where you end up. But you always have the option, of course, because we have agency to make changes, but they really should be future choices, ones that move us forward and don't keep us in the past. Each eclipse in a series is united in theme and strung together like pearls on a necklace. So often we have like these eclipse seasons where there'll be multiple eclipses together, but sometimes they're spread out. But within a given astrological year, every eclipse is one of a family of signs, and it moves forward the momentum that first eclipse brings, and then they just build upon each other. The job of an eclipse is to shine a big ray of truth to the part of your life that is present for you. So they're illuminators. They reveal a truth about something that's happening in your life that you might not have ever even contemplated. And so when you're given that information, the news can act like a catalyst to help you move forward. And then one more here. If an eclipse falls on your birthday or within 5 days of your birthday, so that's happening for both Leah and I in these two eclipses, the year that follows that particular birthday will be a critical one for you. So you may experience a big change in lifestyle or massive change in one specific part of your life. And that's also true if the eclipse falls on your rising sign, the first house of your chart, and your old life may fade into history as a new one shapes up.
Well, fuck. So that big eclipse that I mentioned on April 8th, a total eclipse of the sun in Aries, you're going to be able to see it all across North America with a narrow path of totality in the U.S. between Texas and Maine. That's my fucking birthday.
Yep. Big one, Leah.
I don't know. No, because like my pessimistic portion of my brain's like something real bad's going to happen.
So remember, it's like new beginnings, opportunities.
Yes, but something has to end.
Well, that everything has to end.
Yeah, but it's not always like great.
Positive vibes, girl.
Okay. 46. We're recording this like the end of March. It's March 27th, and we are right now in the shadow phase of Mercury in retrograde. It does start April 1st. My birthday is a retrograde birthday. Like I was born on a retrograde. So I'm always like, okay, go easy on me. But holy shit, in this phase right now, the technology has been fucking up hardcore. I'm just like, oh, give me a break. So I'm hoping there's a little bit of reprieve, but then we got the eclipse. Oh, okay. I'm just going off on a crazy tangent. The important messages with this eclipse that I'm freaking out about that hasn't happened yet are one, courage and initiative. So Aries is known as the sign of the pioneer, symbolizing courage, initiative, and assertiveness. And the eclipse in Aries encourages us to take bold action, embrace our individuality, and fearlessly pursue our passions and goals. I'm unapologetically myself every day, so it's going to get weird.
In case you didn't notice, guys. Dear listener.
And new beginnings. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, representing new beginnings and fresh starts. This eclipse marks a powerful opportunity to initiate change, set intentions for the future, and embark on exciting new adventures. And number three, independence and freedom. So we value our independence and freedom, encouraging us to assert our autonomy and break free from limitations or constraints that may be holding us back. And it's in time to embrace our independence and assert our individuality with courage and conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And serving up cunt. There were just some two more in there. Courage, conviction, cunt.
We have leadership and innovation. So Aries is a natural leader and innovator, taking the lead in our own lives. So the eclipse encourages us to tap into our creative potential and pioneer innovative solutions to challenges. And then the last piece for this eclipse is about embracing change. So Aries is a dynamic and forward-moving sign, symbolizes change and transformation. Of course, change is inevitable and encourage us to embrace it with enthusiasm and optimism, trusting in our ability to adapt and thrive in new circumstances. So Lee, you need to read that last sentence.
One thing you don't know about Aries is we don't fucking listen to anybody. We're the one that's right. You can't tell me what to do, Carla.
Okay.
Courage, conviction, cunt, Carla.
So I'm a Pisces, so.
I know you are. You're a cusp, though. Aren't you a cusp?
I'm the very last day of the zodiac, which an astrologer once told me was the hardest day of the year to be born. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, you're a cusp baby between a Pisces and an Aries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, Leah might not listen, but for all of you, this particular solar eclipse brings a message of empowerment, courage, new beginnings. It's about embracing your individuality, taking decisive action, and fearlessly pursuing our passions and dreams. So all good things. So what I encourage you to do, you know, the lead up, lots of energy moving around. And there's been lots of solar flares. There's lots of stuff happening, that you might be feeling energetically. So even if you don't believe in any of this stuff, like grab a journal, notice, like just kind of scribble down some thoughts about how you're feeling, what you're noticing. That can be really helpful. And, you know, I listened to an astrologer, Pam Gregory. I really like her videos. And she was talking about this particular solar eclipse and just was saying that, you know, the effects of these big solar eclipses, they can actually last for months, right? So we feel like this big charge now, but then the fallout of that can take a long time. So journaling, because if you have a memory like a sieve, like me, I just don't remember, you know, things at particular points. So journaling can be really helpful. Might want to do ceremony on the 8th, you know, if any of these qualities are really speaking to you and you really want to anchor them in yourself, do a ceremony, make an altar. All those kinds of things.
Send me $5 on PayPal. Just kidding. Don't send me money. I'll have to pay taxes on it.
And if you are going to look at the eclipse, if you live somewhere, you know, I'm sure you know this, you got to, for a total solar eclipse, you need to protect your eyes. I actually remember a total solar eclipse when I was in elementary school. And, yeah, we made those kind of like box things.
Yeah, where the box glasses.
The shadow ended up on the paper underneath us. Like,
and do you remember also too, though, like that was always a big warning in elementary school when these things were happening, like you'll go blind.
Yes.
And it's just not the same level of warning that it is now in popular culture. It was, you know, it's just one of those things. Like,
it was either you'd go blind or you'd end up seeing that ring of light. Like you'd burn it into your cornea.
Is that true still?
I think that you probably could damage your eye if you looked at it long enough. Yeah, I think so.
If you looked at it long enough.
I think if you,
I know that they still make like eclipse glasses, but you know, it's not like
make the safe choice, people. We're not going to tell you to look at the sun.
Happy birthday to me. I can't see.
And I'm also going to include the link. There's a website, timeanddate.com. You can just put in your location and it basically gives you the list of all the upcoming eclipses, like whether, you know, they're lunar, solar, what kind they are. And then it has a map of visibility. So if you're curious when you would be actually able to see a particular eclipse this year or anytime in the future, I thought that was kind of neat.
I used to use that website for when we did your temple website for a lot of phases and shit. The one that's happening on the 8th, are we going to see it, feel it? Well, we're going to feel it. Are we going to see it here?
We're not in Northern like BC. Texas. We might see some. We might. It is passing over America. So Canada might catch a little bit of it, but we won't see.
We're probably too far up where we are.
But people are like, I have heard about people who've been planning for months, like they're traveling places to be able to go see this.
And again, this is the third time, shout out to Amanda, because we were talking about this, where she lives around Buffalo, like there's a point where everybody travels to. Man, I wish I had this ahead of time, but it's like, for whatever reason, it's like the perfect point to see the eclipse. And she says that like people come in droves to the city for it.
Kind of like an eclipse party. Sounds pretty fun.
Carla's already thinking about getting naked and running through the streets.
In Texas.
New York. Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if I'm going to run around naked, but I'd go to an eclipse party. That sounds good.
You'd at least go topless, you guys. Tits out for the eclipse.
Oh, boy.
Oh, goodness. Well, now to bring it down a notch of our hilarity. It's always like that. We're laughing our asses off and then we're like, the next time we come back on the Radical Sex Witches, we talk about the catch-all condition that almost all women at one time were affected with: hysteria.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about hysteria and vibrators.
Oh, well, the vibrator,
it's a little bit fun,
and we're gonna record it while we have a vibrator between each of our legs. We want you to drink every time we climax.
Okay, so get your drinks ready for the next episode.
Or you know what? Pull out your dilly and just vibe along with us. I'm Little Leah.
Oh, and I'm Carla. We are the Radical Sex Witches, and we will see you next time.
Hello, witchy listener. It's Carla here. If you're feeling disconnected from pleasure and unfulfilled in life, reach out to me and let's connect on a free call. I love helping women like you shift to owning your sexual power, reconnecting to your body, and finding your unique radical sex witch within. Go to CarlaWainwright.com or find my contact info in the show notes. Let's co-create a life for you that is truly turned on.